A recent Department of Labor study shows employed Americans spend more time working than anything else when they're awake. So what are we to make of the fact that so many of us say we dislike where we work and that not many of us love our jobs? The Atlanta Business Chronicle just released its annual list of the best places to work here in the city. And joining us to talk about what makes a company good to work for and keys to workplace happiness is Tom Conklin. He is Clinical Associate Professor of Managerial Sciences at Georgia State University. Tom, good to have you on the program.
Well, thanks a lot, Tony. Glad to be here.
So Tom, we want happier employees. We want happy workplaces. And you say there are essentially two key questions, right, in determining if yours is a happy workplace. And let's sort of take each question and talk about them separately, all right? Now, the first question is, do I have at least one person there at the workplace that I call a friend? Why is that important?
Well, actually, that's the two questions are two of actually 12.
Two of 12.
Yeah, which is really interesting. That's people, you know, work is a relational social place.
Yep.
So people find that when they have a good friend at work, the likelihood of them leaving, the likelihood of turnaround ideation or leaving work sometimes drops precipitously. And so they find themselves sticking around more longer than they might otherwise have stayed there. So having a good friend at work, getting the chance to do what you do well at work, having good leadership and good management that provides the resources and tools, these are critical things that are assessed in terms of having a workplace where we find ourselves fully engaged.
You know, that's interesting because I when I think about the idea of having a friend at work, the other side of that, wait a minute. I don't go to work to make friends. I go to work to earn money. Mm-hmm. I go to work. I'm a bot. I go to produce.
Yeah.
I don't crank go it to up. Be social. I go to crank it up.
Increase efficiency, right? That's the model. That's the mantra. And what we've discovered is, well, that's true. We want to see high levels of productivity, but there are other issues that also play into that. And some of those things have to do with the nature of the work that we're doing.
Yeah.
Dorothy Marsick is a NYU prof, and she's written extensively on this idea also. And she says that manager's job, their job is not to make us happy, although they try hard and they should be respected for that. But really what it comes down to is the creation of meaning. And she says that's manager's job.
Creation of meaning.
Yeah, work that's meaningful, where we're doing stuff that we think really counts. And she says that's manager's job. But I say it is, but it's also our job. We can't.
Yeah.
It's too much to expect that strictly of management. So we have to participate in that ourselves in terms of creating a meaningful experience for ourselves.
Something meaningful. That gets to that other question of the 12 on the list here. Do I really enjoy what I do?
Mm-hmm.
Expand on that a little bit for us, for folks who are driving to work right now.
Yeah. Do I really enjoy what I do? And it sadly seems like many folks don't, as you alluded to earlier. The sad reality is that we oftentimes find ourselves in jobs that really don't provide the significance or the meaning that we like. And sometimes that's a function of what we're actually doing. So the question is, how did I end up where I am?
Right.
And what could I do differently going into my work tomorrow or the next job? What should I think about? And that wrestles up all kinds of other questions that kind of make a mess
Tom,
for us.
But, Tom, a lot of us don't think about the enjoyment path when we're thinking about a career. You know, we got out of school, we maybe have a degree and think we're going to get a job in that field, but we end up taking a job that gets us going and gets some money in our pockets immediately, and we don't think about the enjoyment path, I guess, to the extent that maybe you're suggesting we should.
Well, money is the thing that's the real problem.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a cash economy. I'm not going to deny it. Everybody wants to make a ton of dough. Me too. You too. That's normal. I get that. The challenge is, how can we balance the desire and the need for money in our economy with the inner drive to find work that leverages our unique capacity? And so if we can somehow suspend the money thing. And I'm in conversation with a couple of students, current and past students right now, about how they're evolving through their own elements around their careers and how they're doing things they don't want to do and how do they have the courage to then move into areas that are more life-giving for them.
Yeah, I'm wondering what employees need to think about. You're heading to work now, and what am I contributing? I don't want to be the miserable person in an otherwise pretty happy workplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think figuring out what it is we do well is the first question. What do I do well?
That's a good one.
Yeah. And there are ways to do that. Gallup, again, they've done that's a huge organization. It's done a lot of data collection. They do the polls. People know them for that. But they've done a lot of other things. And there's a whole story around developing our strengths, understanding what those are, academic research, Gallup's research on that, so we can figure out just, well, what am I good at? And I think most of us don't really know. We like to imagine it, or maybe we come up with some taken for granted, you know, socially acceptable answers, but what are we really good at? And Gallup has about 36 different skills. That,
or we think we're good at things that we may not be particularly good at, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, and it confronts this idea that says, well, I can be good at everything if I just try hard enough. That's in the American psyche, right? And so how can we get past that?
So what are your thoughts on what managers need to be thinking about? Because you talk to managers in your work and in your teaching. What is it that managers need to think about? And how difficult, do we really appreciate how difficult a job it is to be a manager?
I don't think we do. I think that there's a lot of folks who aspire to be leaders and managers, and God bless them, they love it, it's great. But sometimes they forget about the part that the power, authority, and responsibility, those three things come together, and responsibility is what makes it work. That's what makes it really hard. A manager's job is to manage the organization, but the other part of a manager's job is she's also expected to develop the capacity of her staff to ascend through the organization, and that's a piece that gets dropped sometimes.
So we talked to some Atlantans, but I want to get back to that point you just made there at the end, because I think that's a good one. Mm. We talked to some Atlantans about their work environment, and I want you to hear from Benny Bierman, who has some ideas on what makes a good manager.
Mm. My name's Benny Bierbaum. I'm from Roswell, Georgia. One that doesn't like micromanage, but also gives you enough direction so you have an idea of where to go and what to do every day, so you're not sitting around.
That idea that you just mentioned, do you hear something in there that makes
absolutely
sense?
Absolutely. Oh, totally, completely, absolutely.
Yeah. What do you hear there that resonates for you?
What I do makes sense. What I do is it makes a contribution, that it's not just whatever I spend my time at. I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it goes. But what I do makes a contribution to the larger program.
That idea of a manager being able to incorporate their people and working them up through the organization, do you find that enough managers appreciate how meaningful that is to the employee?
I think they do once they start managing.
Utilizing all of their skills of their employees?
Yes, but I think it's a practice, and it's an applied, it's like law, it's like medicine, it's like anything else, where we practice through the application of our skills and we build our capacity.
Yeah, I've got one more. This is from Tracy Aguirre. She's a Georgia Tech worker, and she's talking here about low morale.
Hi, my name is Tracy Gear. I work for a research security department here at Georgia Tech Research Institute. I've heard several experiences from other folks, and the environment wasn't so pleasant for them, meaning everybody's morale was low. The work is not a success. You know, people don't enjoy coming to work like they should.
So what do we want from good managers? And we'll get back to employees in a moment here. It seems to me we want managers who are open-minded.
Yeah.
We don't want them siloed in their thinking.
No, we don't. We want them to think broadly. We want them to give us work that's uses the skills that we have, and that's the thing that's most critical. I've talked to many students and many organizations, members and organizations, where feel like they're not doing the work that they're really built for. So. And this is what makes management really hard. If we're really going to do the job well, it means we have to really understand our faculty, our staff, our faculty, whoever it is that's in our service, right? So we have to understand, what are they built for? Why are they here? Here's a crazy idea. What is their calling? That's an old idea from 400 or 500 years ago, but it's finding a resurgence now in conversations. It's finding a resurgence in literature. But it takes a lot of work to figure out what that is. And I'm just talking to a student right now, and I'm having to rehash her entire life and find out what she found most life-giving in wherever she's been, jobs, activities, events, wherever. And that's the easy part. You know, that's paying attention. The tough part is, and once you find it, the courage then to go pursue it, especially going back to what we talked about a few minutes ago when it comes to cash flow and money. Like sometimes I'm going to have to be broke for a little while to do that work.
So Tom, and if you're just joining us, we're talking to Tom Conklin. He's a clinical associate professor of managerial sciences at Georgia State University. What do you hear as being the chief frustrations of managers who you did some consulting work earlier in your career? What is it that you would hear from managers in terms of their frustrations and the difficulties they were having in managing their staff?
Trying to find a way to get their staff to do their jobs more fully involved.
Really?
And sometimes, and then of course the approaches that they take are sometimes foolhardy. They think, well, if I pay them a lot, I'll give them raises, I'll give them more money. And money's important. Like we said earlier, we got to have it. At the same time, money is only, it doesn't make us happy. It just makes our unhappiness more tolerable. What really makes us happy is autonomy, meaning, purpose in our work, the ability to do work that we feel fits into the larger project of the organization. There's research done on the idea of what folks find meaningful. And money is oftentimes what managers think, whereas staff say, I just want to be involved at the higher level. I want to know what's going on around here.
Yeah. Are there companies that you've identified? The Atlanta Business Chronicle has certainly identified companies that are doing it well here in the Atlanta area. But are there other companies that you're aware of or best practices out there that you're aware of that you can share with us?
Companies, one comes to mind right off the top of my head. Georgia State University.
Yeah. We were talking about that. I know that'll sound like we're being homers here, but we were talking about that just moments ago.
Yeah. I mean, as I'm 5 years at that university, and I got to say they have done a lovely job of reconstructing faculty positions, for instance, in terms of what people do really well and then loading those capacities. So I think taking that and not saying, you know, taking a one-size-fits-all approach to whatever the job title is, and then really sort of understanding how the job can leverage the unique strengths that that person has. So it takes, that's why management's hard, because we got to care enough to figure that out. And there's some tools out there. So clearly
people
some research.
Get frustrated when they feel like, look, I came here to do a job. I have all these skills and I'm siloed.
Yeah.
Forget about siloed thinking from the managers. I'm siloed. They don't fully appreciate the entire person and being and what I can contribute.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's frustrating.
That's frustrating. And managers, you know, I don't want to give them the bad rap here because they're trying to meet their expectations and they have pressure from above. I get all that too. So this is why I say management is such a difficult role because they are trying to meet their boss's expectations and still take care of their staff in ways that help them achieve their magnificence.
Well, I hope we helped someone on the way to work or who's at the job right now. Tom, it's great to have you on the program.
Well, thanks so much for having
me,
Tony.
Yeah, real pleasure. Tom Conklin, he's a clinical associate professor of managerial sciences at Georgia State University. And just ahead on the program, Georgia-based food writer Jonathan Scott Barrett joins us to talk Southern cooking. But first, a look into Wesleyan College's checkered past and ties to the Klan. This is On Second Thought.
Thank you.